you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Griffith Park is my most special place in the whole wide world. From running with my uncle up Crystal Springs Drive when I was a kid to playing my high school and college baseball home games there. My first date with my wife was at Travel Town, and then my granddaughter's first hike was with me up to Amir's Garden. I've been exploring every corner of Griffith Park for over 40 years now, and it still feels like there's a lot of stuff I've yet to see. Now, LA's resident hiking expert, Casey Schreiner, has a new book all about one of the biggest urban parks in North America, offering Griffith Park veterans like me, and then the rookies, a manual for getting to know it better. It's called Discovering Griffith Park, A Local's Guide. Casey Schreiner, welcome back to Take Two.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Now, right off the bat, you acknowledge that this enormous city park is still a mystery to many Angelenos who have lived here a long time. And this is really who your book is for. So we'll dive into a few selected specific things in just a bit. But what's a quick overview of the history of Griffith Park and how it came to be?
The quick history, and this will be very quick, very, very truncated version of the history. It is really the history of L.A. itself. It started out as Tongva land. It became one of the Spanish land grants that was awarded to one of the pobladores, one of the original 44 settlers and soldiers who founded the city of L.A. It was basically taken by Yankee lawyers. It was used for real estate development. And then it eventually came into the hands of Griffith J. Griffith, who donated 3,000 so acres of the land to the city as a city park. So that's how it became a city park, and how LA, which was still, you know, very much a backwater town at that time, instantly overnight, we got a park that was five times the size of New York City's Central Park.
And when it comes to Central Park, I think that becomes most Americans' vision of what an urban park is, but that's a very manicured place. Griffith Park is a whole nother world.
Right. I think when people think of city parks, they think of Central Park. They might think of San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. And those are a little bit more easy to sort of comprehend because they're, you know, they're giant rectangles. They're on a city grid. It's easy to get a sense of how big they are. Griffith Park is five times the size of Central Park. It's four times the size of Golden Gate Park. And it's got that manicured garden aspect. And it's got this sort of like rough, rugged chaparral state. So it's weird. Like, LA has a city park that literally has mountains in it. And I think a lot of people really underestimate that when they think about Griffith Park.
You know, New York Central Park is iconic to the whole nation because of the many movies and TV shows that have been set in Central Park, where it plays a starring role. I mean, you know that you're in Central Park. But even though it's close to Hollywood, Griffith Park has kind of had an uncredited role in a lot of movies and TV shows. Why do you think that is? And does that kind of make it like second fiddle to New York Central Park?
Well, I don't want to say that Griffith is central or second fiddle to Central Park, because
I wouldn't. I'm not saying it. I'm just.
But so the Autry Museum is working on an exhibit on Griffith Park that's really, really great. One of my favorite aspects of that exhibit is they have this running reel of just various movies and TV shows that are shot in Griffith Park. And there's a great quote above it that says, "A tree is a tree, a rock is a rock. Shoot it in Griffith Park." It was a really open environment that really could fill in for almost anywhere else in the world. It is in the backdrop of a lot of stuff, but few people, you know, in those movies or TV shows actually say, "Let's go to Griffith Park." I do kind of wonder why that is. I mean, maybe the most starring role was Rebel Without a Cause. You know, we've got the James Dean statue just outside the observatory. And now, of course, people know La La Land. But, you know, even in La La Land, in that famous dance scene, they don't say that they're going to Griffith Park. It just looks like a magical L.A. street. Maybe we should require more people to announce that we're in Griffith Park in the entertainment industry to give it a little bit more love.
Now, the most visible thing in the park, the Hollywood sign, it's on Mount Lee, not on Mount Hollywood.
Yes.
It has many different ways to see it, to access it, and enjoy it. And it helps to know what you want when you want to try and see the Hollywood sign and have a plan. So how did you parse out that part of the book? Because I can imagine that that is the number one question, maybe, Casey, that you get asked when you get asked about the Hollywood sign in Griffith Park.
Yeah, and honestly, I think, you know, if you spend more than 2 weeks in L.A., someone will ask you how to get to the Hollywood sign. And unfortunately, what happens is there's like two places that people tend to go to, and then they get there and they see how crowded it is and they get disappointed. There are so many places to see the Hollywood sign from Griffith Park. You do not need to go to the observatory. You do not even need to hike up to Mount Lee to see it. There's about 13 different places that I tell you how to see the Hollywood sign in the book, Discovering Griffith Park, including some of which you don't really even need to hike that much to see him.
We're talking to Casey Schreiner about his new book, Discovering Griffith Park, A Local's Guide. Now, before we get to what I think is the best part of the park, and that's the endless trails and paths, I want to highlight something that people may not be aware of. Tell us about some of Griffith Park's gardens.
Yeah, so Griffith Park has a series of what has been known as volunteer gardens. And they're called volunteer gardens because when they started, people just sort of volunteered, and I'm using air quotes here, their services as gardeners. You know, most of these gardens did not have permission. We're talking about places like Dante's View, the Captain's Roost, which are both on the flanks of Mount Hollywood. Later on, we had Amir's Garden, which Amir's Garden was the first garden that actually had permission from the parks and had help from the city to get it going. And then later on, we've had additional gardens that have sort of come up. The Bird Sanctuary was not a garden initially, but is now getting restored by the Friends of Griffith Park. We've got the D'Anza Native Plant Garden on the D'Anza National Historic Trail, which is kind of on the east end of the park. And there's a great little butterfly garden that's off the Fern Canyon Trail.
And okay, so you listed 33 hikes in the book, and you rated them as easy, moderate, challenging, and very challenging. So give us an example of each and what goes into their level of difficulty.
For an easy one, again, this is not technically part of Griffith Park, but I included it anyway because people sort of assume that it is part of Griffith Park. But the path around the Hollywood Reservoir is one of my favorite very, very easy paths to send people to. It's pretty flat. It's mostly paved, stroller-friendly. It's about 3 miles round-trip loop. You get some of what I think are the best Hollywood sign views in the entire park. In terms of moderate stuff, sites like the Observatory Trails, which are basically from the Trails Cafe up to the observatory and back, those are a little bit steep. You'll definitely huff and puff in a couple sections, but it's not going to knock the wind out of you. For challenging, the Hogback Loop is a pretty famous, well-known trail, especially for trail runners. Again, not too tough, but that Hogback Loop section is very, very steep. And then for like the really, really hard routes, I have two routes that basically traverse the entire park. I really love that west to east route, which basically goes from Cahuenga Peak, which is like the Wonder View trailhead, all the way to the Griffith Park Pony Rides and Train in the far east corner near that Mulholland Fountain. That is a really, really good, mostly full day route with tremendous views. You'll get great solitude in the middle of the park and a tremendous sense of accomplishment when you're done.
And really quick, if heaven forbid something happens, you sprain an ankle or you're injured or something, there are numbers throughout the park, right? And what do those numbers mean?
This actually was a thing that I learned while writing the book. The water tanks all have numbers on them. And basically, if you add a zero to the end of that number on the water tank, that's the elevation of the water tank. But additionally, every route finding trail sign, every trail junction sign, and even some fire hydrants and other infrastructure in the park is spray painted with a number on it. So if you call one of the rangers and you need help or you're trying to tell them where you are, if you see something with a number on it, tell them that number and they'll know exactly where you are.
All right, now what's the range of living things you might see on a Griffith Park hike?
It's pretty broad. Most visitors to Griffith Park will give you a coyote story. coyotes are pretty much everywhere. Yeah. You will see them throughout the park. You know, they're mostly harmless. They're not going to attack you. They're really smart. Of course, we've got P-22, that charismatic megafauna, celebrity bachelor cat who lives in Griffith Park. There's mule deer that are up there, especially around the Graveyard Memorial Park areas in the north side that are not actually part of the park. You'll see tons of red-shouldered hawks, red-tailed hawks, peregrine falcons. It's a haven for birders, scrub jays. From bugs, you've got the western fence lizard. Tarantulas are in there. There's a thing called the diabolic armored beetle that lives in Griffith Park. It's just full of wildlife.
You know, Griffith Park, like other outdoor areas, has been off limits because of the pandemic. But now that we're able to go back after losing it for a while, how do you think your book can help add to a renewed appreciation for our urban rural paradise?
You know, I really, really hope that one of the good things that comes out of these stay-at-home orders in this pandemic is a greater appreciation of Griffith Park specifically and LA's parks in general. Looking at the history of LA, we don't have a great track record with parks. If you look at some of these other old parks that LA has, something like MacArthur Park or Elysian Park, you'll see that we basically put freeways through the middle of them and really ruined them as functional parks. Griffith Park, that happened too. You know, we've got the 5 and the 134 running through the park that really cut off the park from the river and are causing some problems now that we're trying to revitalize the river. LA has great, great parks. Griffith Park is a fantastic world-class park. LA needs more parks, and it needs more parks in more places. 40% of Angelenos don't live within a 10-minute walk of a neighborhood park. And that was a big issue. When those parks were closed and we were being told, go walk around your neighborhood, stay local, a lot of people in LA couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So now that we have our parks open again, I'm hoping that people really appreciate what we couldn't access and appreciate what we now can access. And I'm hoping that they'll fight for more parks in the future, and they'll make sure that parks like Griffith stay around for the next 100 years.
Casey Schreiner's beautiful new book is called Discovering Griffith Park, A Local's Guide. Casey, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.